Fanning. Weekends on 2FM.
Okay, during the week it was reported that Kim Kardashian and Kanye West are possibly preparing for a divorce. Throughout their 8-year relationship, they have been dubbed one of the most influential power couples in the world. But what exactly is a power couple? Well, author and journalist Caitlin McBride is on the line now to tell us where the term power couple originated and what kind of relationships throughout modern history fit this description. So first of all, Caitlin, what is a power couple? Where did this term originate?
A power couple is a couple consisting of two people who are equally successful in their own right, either prior to the relationship or during the course of the relationship. And we kind of see this being applied, and I think reflective of our collective obsession with success and celebrity, and it applies well beyond celebrity into politics, history, music and film. And it was actually added to the Oxford English Dictionary in 2016, and they cited 1983 as being the first time they saw the printed reference of the term power couple, which was referring to Bob and Elizabeth Dole. So lots of, unsurprisingly, I suppose, that it's a political power couple, and plenty of whom we will be discussing.
And so in terms of power couples, do the people have to be equally powerful when they come together, or can one sort of flourish under the other and then they become a power couple, if you know what I mean?
Well, definitely. And I think that Kim Kardashian and Kanye West are probably a really good example of that kind of a couple, where they were independently successful. But I mean, is this superstar, you know, musician, multiple Grammys, multiple awards. And she was a reality TV star. And she had really struggled to kind of achieve mainstream success. And it was from their relationship, really, that the Kim Kardashian and her family, by extent, kind of received this mainstream bolster. I mean, when they were dating in 2013 and they attended the Met Gala together, Vogue magazine actually cropped her out of the photo that ran of him accompanying her in the magazine. And then a year later, she was on the cover. So it goes to show kind of the strength that he gave her in terms of boosting her popularity. And I mean, I don't think it's a huge surprise to anyone who's kind of been following their story, for better or worse, I have in recent years, because she has, of course, kind of changed into moving. She's starting to become a lawyer. She's working very seriously on prison reform in the US. And, you know, he ran for president in 2020 under the birthday party. So you can kind of see their causes diverging in recent years.
Yeah, because like I would have looked back at Kim Kardashian, and in my head, she was always huge, huge, huge. So it wasn't until herself and Kanye got together that she went supernova. Is that the case then?
Yes, because she absolutely was huge. And that's not to take away, you know, any of her earlier success, but it was still, I suppose, quite limited to people who watched Keeping Up with the Kardashians, or maybe people who were following her on Instagram. And then from around 2013 onwards, it was again, I'm kind of keen not to take away any of her success that is because of him. But suddenly you have people who, as you said, you know, perhaps if you hadn't been watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians, you wouldn't know, be familiar with Kim, whereas now everyone knows her. And all of the success since is obviously, you know, she's a very savvy businesswoman, as is her mother, Kris Jenner. But when you have someone as famous as Kanye West kind of as your boyfriend, that absolutely helps boost your profile.
You mentioned the Doles a little bit earlier on. Could this term also be applied to romantic relationships in the political world? I assume so.
Definitely. And it has been. We've seen it throughout history. This might be the only radio segment that I'm going to casually segue from Kim Kardashian to Eleanor Roosevelt, but I will. Kind of in researching in preparation for this piece, I was looking at power couples throughout history. And, we go back and we see like the couples like the Roosevelts being referenced in the same way. Now, when we're talking about power couples now, we're talking more so about Vogue magazine and the Met Gala and things like that. But these were couples who were doing extraordinary things, primarily in the US when it was about presidents and first ladies. And if you see, for example, someone like Eleanor Roosevelt, who redefined the role of a first lady, which was one turning it into one of action. I mean, she is now remembered as being one of the most extraordinary women in history. And, she did trailblazing work for women in the workplace and fighting for the rights of African Americans at the time. And, you know, she also had a radio column had a newspaper column and held press conferences. And so she was kind of amplifying her voice and changing this role. And we saw it again later with JFK and with Jackie O, who were, of course, kind of remembered for their just endless supply of glamour and they kind of brought in that different kind of maybe celebrity as we know it to the White House and to kind of how we see kind of power couples in terms of presidents and first ladies. But it's a very interesting way when you kind of look at it through the lens of, I suppose, their individual successes and then how they're remembered for their time together as a couple. And when you see couples like JFK and Jackie O, who are still being represented on screen and television and in film very, very consistently, there's still an ongoing fascination with them.
And do you think Michelle Obama and Barack Obama were a power couple as well, in a similar guise?
Absolutely. They are the very definition, I think, of a power couple. I mean, if we look at when we think of certainly charming presidents, the list is probably JFK, Bill Clinton and Barack Obama. And then when we think of powerful first ladies, I think Michelle Obama in recent years is certainly the first woman to pop to your head. And we see now their deal with Netflix, which is worth a couple hundred million. They've started a production company. They have a Spotify podcast that is worth something like 40 million, we'll say. They're generating this huge money. Michelle Obama is one of the best-selling books in recent years with her biography, Becoming. So they are absolutely really impressive people, and their story is really fascinating. And Michelle was a lawyer, of course, before, and again, incredibly intelligent, and kind of shows that, you know, perhaps we're looking at it through narrow of a lens when we see that, of course, Barack is the president, and of course he is therefore, you know, the most powerful one professionally in their relationship.
But he's certainly retreated in recent years. He has retreated from the limelight and she has kind of moved up front, hasn't she?
Exactly. So we're seeing, you know, anyone who kind of would have followed even in his kind of run from 2008, we would see, you know, that she was a very intelligent, very capable woman. And now everybody's getting to see that in person. I watched the Becoming documentary on Netflix last year, and it's excellent. It's great insight into the minds of one of the most impressive first ladies ever.
And what about Hollywood couples then? Because, like, there's been many, many Hollywood couples that have been celebrated over the years.
Definitely. And I think I kind of was looking back more towards old Hollywood when I was looking at couples, because a lot of the couples we can see kind of their legacy unfolding in real time, whereas it's kind of fun to go back and think of the couples as we know them. For example, even like someone like Kim and Kanye, you know, the reason we have this obsession with them is because if we go back to someone like Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton, for example, I mean, theirs was especially dramatic. They were married twice, they were divorced twice. And, you know, they kind of represented this age of vulgarity. He kept a $1.25 million check as a bookmark. She was similarly ostentatious. And a biography about their relationship is kind of dubbed the marriage of the century. And, I mean, this is back in 1962. So we are still talking about them, again, seeing a couple who's continuously represented on film. And I think it's just a really fascinating story. And then we also have, you know, more modern representation would be someone like Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell. And, I mean, what's interesting about them is that, again, they were both separately very successful. He was a former child star. She was kind of a rising actress. But they've been together for nearly 40 years. I think most people know who they are. They probably don't need much of an introduction. But what's so unusual about them is, A, the choice that they've made the decision not to marry, and B, is that they just seem genuinely happy.
Yeah, I didn't know they were married at all. Yeah. I would have thought they were married. Like, is there any particular reason why they didn't get married?
Well, they said that they are just as committed to each other as without being married. They've both previously been married, and I think kind of might have shaken their faith in the institution a little bit. And I mean, if the purpose of marriage is showcasing commitment, then I think a 40-year relationship is a pretty good demonstration of that. And I think, you know, they seem like a nice, normal-ish, as normal as anyone in Hollywood could be considered.
And they're living, does Goldie, she doesn't purport to be living the dream all the time, saying that their life is amazing all the time, does she?
No, and I think that's what's nice. I mean, you know, people are constantly asking her, you know, what's your secret? You've been together so long, you know, couple goals, we need to know. And, you know, she said, you know, the key is spending, she's happy around 68% of the time, which is probably true, I think, for most people in a long-term relationship. And she said, you know, it's about spending time together and apart, and you're never going to be happy all the time. And I think if you can accept that, you know, there is no such thing as a perfect relationship, but there is such a thing as loving someone and wanting to work towards it. And that sounds like a pretty romantic idea for most people.
I love the 68% because that rings true. I think for everybody that can kind of say, yeah, 67 out of 10. Everything is usually around 7 out of 10. And considering the fact that Hollywood couples who we think are having the best lives all the time are living at 68%, that makes me feel better about my life. Yeah. What about power couples in the corporate world?
I think top of the list would be Bill and Melinda Gates. I mean, unsurprisingly, Bill Gates is, of course, one of the most one of the wealthiest men in the world. But Melinda, kind of in since about the late 90s, has also started to come to the fore, mostly with their work through the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which does do genuinely good work. And they are both kind of really noted philanthropists. And she is a graduate of Duke University, which is one of the best known colleges in the US. And now she's constantly being rated in the top 10 of Forbes' 100 most powerful women list. So it's interesting to see these, you know, this kind of super couple within the tech and corporate world. And if you compare them to, say, someone like Jeff Bezos and his now ex-wife, Mackenzie Scott, we don't really have the same affection for them. We don't have the same interest in them. It's a very different way that they're kind of represented. And supposedly, there were also suggestions for the 2016 Hillary Clinton vice presidential ticket, which I found interesting as well. So, I mean, there's, you know, it kind of goes to show that we are a little bit desperate for celebrities and a little bit desperate to find this kind of stability and power couples in all aspects of industry.
But the thing about Bill and Melinda, I think, which raises our feelings about them as a couple, is their level of philanthropy. They've pretty much given away nearly everything they have, haven't they?
Exactly.
I mean, maybe they've kept a billion, okay? But like they've given away like 100 billion, and that's what you know. It does it like Jeff Bezos, like those guys. I know Jeff. I think he gave away 10 billion recently. Sorry, I should add. But there's something about Jeff Bezos that doesn't warm my heart like Bill and Melinda for some reason.
No, and it's a practicing what you preach, and I mean they have the kind of wealth that pretty much all of us will only ever get to dream about or read about. And so when you see people who do achieve that and giving back in a very genuine way makes you, you know, I mean, I'm not losing sleep at night. As you say, they probably kept a billion. I'm not losing sleep at night.
I'm sure they've got a caravan down Ross Lair just in case. But I can't imagine Jeff Bezos with his Amazon empire will take the hearts of us like those guys. Like the likes of Jay-Z and Beyonce or the Beckhams would surely be up there in terms of, you know, younger modern day power couples. Like they're super power couples, aren't they? Very influential.
Completely. And I'm of the generation that grew up on MTV when they started doing more TV shows. So I can recall with kind of alarming ease a lot of details about the early days of Jay-Z and Beyonce's relationship. And it was documented very diligently at the time in the late 90s, early noughties. And now what's interesting is that, you know, we kind of feel like we at least knew a little bit about a couple like Jay-Z and Beyonce. And they have this combined net worth over $1 billion. They are undoubtedly the most powerful couple in music. But we know very little about them. And I think that being able to hold that sense of privacy when you are as famous as they are is a real reflection of star power. And I mean, we see, for example, you know, things a lot about their musical process, a lot about their songs and their back catalogue. But reports can't even agree at what age it was that Beyonce first met him because they share so little about that. Even, you know, they got married in 2008 and it was only a music video. We saw a very brief snapshot of the wedding. And so Beyonce very famously doesn't give interviews. And if she gives an interview, it's once every 5 years and it'll be someone like Oprah. And so it's very interesting. And I think that they have really managed to get the best of all worlds.
The thing about these couples like Jay-Z and Beyonce, and you'll say you look at Chris Martin and Gwyneth Paltrow who have split. Can power couples like this, do you think, withstand the egos if one really starts moving ahead, or could it be a volatile situation because these people don't get into these positions for nothing without, you know, having a real grow for power?
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely. And if you think about, you know, relationships evolve, relationships change, whether you are Jay-Z and Beyonce or if you're, you know, Tom and Mary on the street, and people change. And as I think power dynamics shift, I mean, you have to remember that a lot of the people, as you say, I think you were probably saying it very politely, but there's a lot of egos involved in all of this. And if you have the kind of dedication and the diligence to get to be someone as successful as Beyonce, you are not only a master of your craft, but you sacrificed a huge amount to get there. And you have an ambition and a talent that kind of gets you to that level. But I find it very hard to believe that there wouldn't be huge egos that come associated with that. And you have yes people around you telling you all the time how wonderful you are. And then if you have a partner who is doing just as well as you, respectively, at what they do, then, I mean, I think it would take kind of a special kind of perseverance to really endure.
Absolutely. And I can I can only say that it would be exhausting being one of these power couples. The amount of pressure on you to be powerful all the time must be unbelievable. And anyway, look, that wraps up our run through of what a power couple is. And author and journalist Caitlin McBride, thank you so much for joining us on the show today, Caitlin. All right, take it easy.
Thank you. Have a good day. Cheers.
Cheers. Bye 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 now.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.